Welcome to the Growing in Grace podcast, where you can listen in on some casual conversation about the good news of Jesus. It's time to discover the true freedom that comes with the gospel of unlimited and overflowing grace.
It's the Growing in Grace podcast. I'm Joel. He's Mike. Just in case people want to know, we do adhere to Paul's words that he wrote to Timothy that podcasters must be the husband of but one wife. Just so people know. Now, that was in Paul's third letter to Timothy, and that actually didn't make it into most canons.
You know, there are some, well, rumors anyway, that there were some writings from Paul that didn't make the cut in our Bible.
Well, I think there were. I'm sure he wrote a lot of letters that we don't have access to. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we have all these manuscripts, and to tell the truth, the word podcasters did not appear in most of those early transcripts.
Well, it depends which translation.
No, that's true. That could reading. Be. and which manuscript. Some scribes might have said, what's this word? Podcaster? Anyway, so, hey, we had some really good discussion last time about forgiveness. And it's an issue that, you know, I used to struggle with. I think I said that last week. It was hard. I never could be settled on whether I was forgiven, you know, on God accepting me. And I've shared before is a lot of it was, well, some of it was based upon because of things that I did, but a lot of it was also based upon I felt like I wasn't doing enough or where I failed in doing good. But either way, you know, knowing God's acceptance, knowing God's forgiveness, that's important. I encourage you, if you didn't listen last week, go and check that one out. And knowing our identity in Christ is so crucial in living our daily life, because so many people have this focus on sin, and struggling with sin, and fighting sin, and trying to get over sin. And you said before we started talking here, Cap, that you had seen a meme from somebody about that sin issue, so I'll let you take over here. But I know that the sin issue has been dealt with, and so let's focus on righteousness and on grace and on our identity in Christ. And so, yeah, let's see where this conversation goes this week.
Well, yeah, that what I saw on social media was, you know, something about preachers who don't preach against sin. Hmm. It kind of comes from that mold of the old time religion.
Yes.
Of course, sin is something that should be avoided, and it will help you. It will help those around you when you do that. But how do we overcome that? So based on last week's program, as Joel said, go back and look for that. It was just last week. And let's focus on this now. Forgiveness has been completed by Jesus Christ once for all. It's done. It's a done deal. But a lot of us were brought up to keep trying to find a renewed forgiveness from God for whatever things we might have done wrong, whether we were fully conscious of them or not. And so that is the routine for a lot of people, especially in evangelical circles, but it's not limited to that. It's throughout the religious business found in different denominations. So now that this news comes to us about God's grace and a completed forgiveness from God for all sins of all time, without having to go back and try to earn God's forgiveness, trying to gain a renewed forgiveness without any blood being shed. Where do we go from here? You know, because somebody might be thinking, you know, I still struggle, and sometimes I struggle with the same things. So where do I go from here if I don't really need to access God for another round of forgiveness? How do I move forward? How do I avoid some of these things that I really don't like doing? And you know, a lot of these questions start popping up into people's mind. But see, it kind of goes back to Hebrews 10 again, which we talked about last week. But here in the very beginning of this chapter, the writer says, The law, having a shadow of the good things to come and not the very image of the things, can never, with these same animal sacrifices, which they offer continually year by year, they could not make those who approach perfect. So the Jewish people seeking perfection but not being able to attain it through these old animal blood sacrifices. Because if that were the case, if they had been perfected, instead of just like a temporary ceremonial forgiveness, then they would have ceased to be offered. They wouldn't be doing them over and over again if they had attained that place. The worshipers, once purified, would have had no more consciousness of sins. Well, and he goes on to say, in those sacrifices, there was a reminder of sins every year, for it was not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sins. But I think one of the key catchphrases here in this passage, if I can say this, and this is New King James here, the consciousness of sins. So you see, the law, as we mentioned very briefly last week, that the law actually that the Jewish people were under in that first covenant, it actually caused sin to increase. Now, today, most people have it in mind when you look at the Ten Commandments, or some other commandments from the old covenant law, they think that that was designed to help reduce sin. It caused it to increase. And so right away, we're getting this backwards religious stuff coming at us, right? It's the kind of the opposite of what's real. And so with a more righteousness consciousness, getting away from the sin consciousness, they were dealing with guilt and condemnation. That's what the ministry of the law was. Not just the Ten Commandments, the entire thing, all of the stone tablets, all of them, everything that was written on them, not just the Ten. They were under a ministry of condemnation, which resulted in nothing more than death. Any kind of forgiveness that they were getting at that time, it was not really taking the sins away. It was just covering them up. It was a temporary atonement. Something totally different happened with Jesus here. And how does that affect us here today with our struggles and our ability to overcome some of the crud that can creep its way into our life? Understanding our identity in Christ has been kind of a foundational message we've had here over the last 21 years on the Growing in Grace podcast. I think before I came to understanding grace, I sort of subscribed to what I was hearing from religious people. One of those things was, you're just a sinner. Now, they would add to it by saying, you're just a sinner saved by grace. But that first part, of course, we're saved by grace, but that first part kind of hangs over your head. I'm just a sinner. So whenever I would fail, I would just sort of tell God or myself, and I would just say, well, I proved it again. I'm just a sinner. And there's nothing I can seem to do about that. But once you begin to realize that you're no longer spiritually identified as a sinner, but the righteousness of God in Him, considered by God now as holy, perfected, sanctified, forgiven, clean. We've been cleansed permanently, eternally by the blood of Jesus Christ. Once we begin to change our thinking and begin to realize who we are from that identity that is like God, we're God-like, we're Christ-like, we're not trying to do things to become like Jesus. We have become like Jesus through birth and inheritance. And once we begin to understand and realize that, without all of that religious stuff that we've heard over the years, if we can, you know, start filtering that out, cleaning our minds a little bit, so to speak, then we can begin to live from that identity and overcome. It kind of reminds me a little bit, Joel, of when Paul was writing, I believe, to the Romans, where he said that sin shall not have dominion over you because you're not under law. You are under grace. And so we have weapons at our disposal, and they're gifted to us. It's not willpower that's going to help us overcome some of the negative things in our life.
Yeah, that's really the big difference there. On the one side, on the one way of thinking, you got a sin consciousness and struggling and fighting against sin, and like you say, a willpower type of thing, and just trying, and you got law. And on the other way, the way of Christ, it's grace. It's knowing your identity in Christ, your solid, secure identity that you have by grace, by birth, not by anything that you've done. And it's the empowerment of the Holy Spirit in us. I mean, there's two different ways that people live the Christian life, and one of them produces death, so to speak. One of them just raises sinful passions all the more. And one of them is where it's not even us, but it's the life of Christ that's in us. You were talking about the law. In Romans 7, you know, Paul writes, and he's addressing, of course, the people under the law. He starts off, "Do you not know, brothers, for I am speaking to those who know the law." So he's directing this portion at least to his Jewish brothers and sisters, but at least we can glean from this, of course. And he gives an example of law and marriage to all to come up with this. "Likewise, brothers, you have also died to the law through the body of Christ so that you may belong to another, to him who was raised from the dead." So it was by their dying to the law that they can belong to another, to Christ, to him who was raised from the dead, in order that we may bear fruit to God. So it wasn't a law consciousness. It wasn't a sin consciousness. It wasn't a struggling with sin or fighting sin type of consciousness, but it's knowing, it's belonging to Christ, to him who was raised from the dead. It's by dying to the law that they could bear fruit for God. He says, "While we were living in the flesh, our sinful passions aroused by the law were at work in our members to bear fruit to death." So through the law, it was bearing fruit to death. "But now we are released from the law, having died to that which held us captive, that we may serve in the new way of the Spirit and not in the old way of the written code." So living with a sin consciousness, with a works consciousness, with a I have to change my life type of consciousness in order to please God or in order to bear fruit, it really works the opposite way. Paul goes on there to say, well, he wouldn't have known what it is to covet if the law hadn't said, "You shall not covet." But, okay, so it's one thing if you know that you shall not covet. It's one thing to know that. But he goes on in verse 8 of Romans 7, "But sin, seizing opportunity through the commandment, produced in me all kinds of covetousness." So all that law did, "You shall not covet," was it produced more coveting in him. All kinds of covetousness, for apart from the law, sin lies dead. And he goes on to give other examples of being under a law mindset toward God does exactly the opposite of what people think. It doesn't produce righteousness. It doesn't produce godly living. It doesn't produce anything good. It produces bondage. It produces death. It produces condemnation, all kinds of things. A law mindset is not good for us. And so on the other hand, again, then we have a righteousness consciousness. We have the fact that we've been redeemed. Here's something about the forgiveness of sins that we have. Ephesians 1:7, "In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence." In him, Colossians 1:14, "In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins." So that issue is dealt with. We've been forgiven. And then the grace of God, the gift that he has given us. What I really want to point out here is that forgiveness is only half the story. It's only part of the story. It's one thing to be forgiven. And that's a good thing. It's a really, really good thing. We need to know that we are completely forgiven of all sins. But how do you live life? Just being forgiven doesn't really empower you. It's God's grace. It's the Holy Spirit in us. It's Christ in us. It's being dead to a law and condemnation type of mindset and sin consciousness and being alive to Christ and knowing that. That's how we live our day-to-day life. And that's, I think, where a lot of the church is missing it. They're focusing on sin, 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 and they need to be focusing on our identity in Christ and the righteous person that he has made us to be.
That's good stuff. You know, I think as I was transitioning from that sin consciousness mindset to a righteousness consciousness mindset, and trying to latch on to who I was as a believer with this newfound identity in Christ that I was discovering. It seems like, you know, so here's just something I'll pass along. If you're somebody out there and poor choices come knocking at your door, mm-hmm. inviting you over for a cup of tea, or at least that's what they're telling you. Then you get there and you find out there's something else going on. But whenever poor choices come knocking at your door, something I started telling myself years ago, and I can't say that I was always perfect in everything that I did, don't get me wrong, but I would just begin to tell myself, and maybe it was God within me who is telling myself that's not who I am.
Right.
Sometimes when there was a choice is being presented before me, you know, sometimes I almost felt like I was on Let's Make a Deal with Monty Hall. I got door number one and there's door number two. And the difference was I could see what was behind both doors. It's almost like God was saying, look, choose that one because that other one is just not who you are. And so I would remind myself, that's not who I am. And I would use that sometimes in different capacities in life. I mean, I remember one time, Joel, when I left radio and went on to try to figure out what else I was going to do, I mean, radio was a lot of fun for me, but it was the time had come to go look for something else. And I remember telling you at that time, I'm not going to let that identify me. I wasn't going to let, I wasn't, the fact that I wasn't in radio anymore, I wasn't a radio announcer, I wasn't a DJ, I wasn't any of that stuff. That stuff did not define me. And a lot of people, through their careers and their jobs or whatever, there's a lot of ways that people will begin to identify themselves through those things. And so I would just encourage people out there, though, to sum this up, is when poor choice opportunities present themselves, remind yourself of who you are, because that's not you. Okay. I don't care how many times you've done it. I don't care how many times you've given into it. God wants to help you through that because it will benefit you, because he loves you so much. Okay. It's not just a matter of being scolded or, you know, you stop doing that, children. It's not even just a disciplinary thing. God loves you and he wants to help you to be the best you that you can be, which is through him. I saw a post the other day, Joel, where somebody said, you can't fake fruit. Well, I strongly disagree with that. There's all kinds of imitation fruit out there. And Jesus addressed this even when he was speaking to his disciples during the end of the Sermon on the Mount. There were people out there doing all kinds of good things. Pharisees mastered that. You and I have the inability to produce fruit. It's God who produces it through us. And when we yield to that one who lives within us, instead of some of the outward external things that may come our way that might try to drag us down, And even when that happens, even when you feel like, oh, I did it again, I blew it again, I did the wrong thing, I lost my temper, whatever, that's not you. And there's no guilt or condemnation with that. You just move on, and God will help you as you proceed.
This has been Growing in Grace with Mike Kapler and Joel Brzezicki. Access past programs by visiting growingingrace.org. Share it with a friend and listen again next week for more Growing in Grace.